Subscribe to the X Podcast right now on iTunes and join me as I share terrifying experiences to satisfy even the most jaded of appetites.
Statements and opinions by guests of Mysterious Radio are not to be considered as endorsed by sponsors or affiliated networks. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this podcast without the express written consent of Mysterious Radio is strictly prohibited.
Get ready for a night filled with conspiracies, strange places, the paranormal, UFOs, legends, and myths from around the world. With your hosts, K-Town, on Mysterious Radio.
Alrighty then, thank you for joining me tonight for another edition of Mysterious Radio. I am your host, K-Town. Tonight, I have a treat for you. If you've been, maybe it's not a treat if you've been upset by this subject, but I have another really good guest, and his name is David Weiss, and he's going to be talking about Flat Earth. I had to bring him because his interviews are phenomenal. David has been at this for a good while. He's taken a lot of shit from people, and still he presses on because he believes he's telling people the truth, and all he's asking is that you take a moment to look at the information and do the research on your own. That's all he asks. And his YouTube channel is DITRH, and that stands for Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. You can check it out on YouTube. He has a bunch of short videos, which makes it a lot easier for people to just sit there, take it in, and then you can go to his website and research it further. Don't take anybody else's word for it. You know, do the research before just dismissing it, which is never smart. But still, you know, like I always tell you, my job is to present the information, allow these people to come on the show and tell it like it is without really holding back, not being afraid to share anything with us, and know that I'm going to leave it all up to you. I'm not going to tell you how to think one way or the other. But this is going to be a really enjoyable interview. All right, so before we get to it, I have to give some shout outs, of course, to those that have left some amazing ratings and reviews for Mysterious Radio. Thank you very much for that. And for you guys that also listen to the X Podcast, I noticed you went over there and left some ratings and reviews. Thank you very much for supporting both of our shows that take a great deal of time to produce. But we hope you love it, and we do it out of love, of course. And we really appreciate your support. Now, okay, so let's do Patreon first. I have Cherie Negriti. That's probably wrong. If it is, Cherie, I'm really sorry, but you're a member of the Dark Council. And I really appreciate that. And we have Matt Miller, who is House of Spirits. Michael Braxton, the House of Spirits. Jimmy Tell is the House of Spirits. And we have Kelly Cox, who is a member of the Children of Roswell. So we really appreciate taking the step to support Mysterious Radio and become a member of our Patreon community. And let's see here. Let's get to the reviews. Let me pull those up. And we have, let's see where I stopped off right here. Okay, so we have PIPWTF says, love this show. And we have SK Hughes, who says that they love the podcast, excellent content. And to the letter says, awesome show, awesome host. Thank you for that. Love it, says Yami Florida, FL. I know that stands for Florida. I just love Florida. All right. And we have Mr. Leahy says, top tier. K-Town's voice is rich and velvety. I like that. And then we've got Wendy 0372 says, K-Town is the best. I love her voice. Very best podcast I have found. Thank you very much for that one. And then we have KCC KWIT 99 says, I love listening. Every topic is fascinating. Good job. Thank you very much for this week's ratings and reviews, and also to my new Patreon supporters, and of course the ones that we already have. You guys mean the world to us, and I wouldn't trade you for the world. I really appreciate that so much. Okay, so if you want to get a shout out from me, all you have to do is leave me a 5-star rating and review, and I'll give you one. So if you listen to the X podcast, I'll give you one on there as well. So if you listen to that and you like it, please, first of all, make sure that you subscribe, okay, first of all. And then second, go ahead and leave us a nice rating and review. Okay, down the rabbit hole we go. And if you're like me, I believe that it is truly bottomless. There is no bottom to it. Here is my special guest, David Weiss, here to talk about Flat Earth. All right, my special guest tonight is David Weiss, and he's here to discuss Flat Earth, and I'm very glad to have him on the show. The only other time I've actually had someone on the show, the very first show I did was actually with Mark Sargent, and it stirred up a lot of controversy, but that show like downloaded a million times, and I was glad to have him on the show. So David, thank you for...
Oops, I'm on mute, as always. Thanks for having me. And I think I remember early on, how long ago was that that interview with Mark?
I think that was my very first one. It was in 2016, actually.
Yeah, so I do remember that. And Mark has done many interviews. And you said that there was... The reaction was... What was the word you used? Outrage? Or
a lot of outrage. A lot of just plain... anger is only, yeah. You know,
that has changed a lot because Flat Earth is getting out there and people are starting to look, and the collective consciousness of the reality of the world that we live in is rising. And you'll be amazed on how much less hate you're going to get from this interview.
Good. Well, I'm glad to have you, and I've heard a ton of your interviews, so I feel like my listeners need to be turned on to you because I commend you on your work. I know it can be easy at times, and but you keep at it, so I really admire that. So before we get started, why don't you tell my listeners, David, a little bit about yourself and how you got started, you know, researching Flat Earth seriously.
Yeah, so I'll tell you the story was... I had a buddy of mine, and we were awake to a bunch of things. You know, we worked in a corporation, a small corporation, and we would, in the lunchroom, we'd gather people around and we'd be talking about the Federal Reserve and how it's not federal and little things like that. One day he said, "Hey, we need to reach more people. I have an opportunity to do a podcast out of New York City." So we ended up broadcasting out of Stand Up New York Labs, which is a podcast studio, and we did a show called Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole, a weekly show for 3 years, and we investigated all of the false flags, hoaxes, all of the deceptions to the world. And then in the third year, some people on our social media started sending me Flat Earth videos. "Hey, check this out, check this out." I wouldn't watch a 1-minute video. All right. I've seen deceptions, but this is ridiculous. I banned people from our social media for repetitively asking me to watch a Flat Earth video. And then one day I was speaking with researcher Sophia Smallstorm. I'm not sure you know who she is, but she did 9/11 mysteries. We need to talk about Sandy Hook in 2, 3, 4, and 5 dimensions. And we were talking about the amount of deception in the world. I said to her, "It's so much deception, it's hard to wrap your mind around it." And she goes, "Oh, David, it might be worse." I'm like, "What do you mean?" She goes, "I think the earth might be flat." And I absolutely flipped out. And I was like, "What? Are you kidding me?" And she sent me Mark Sargent's clues. And I watched them and I was like, "Okay, that's it. I'm going to debunk this." This is when his clues first started coming out. And then for 2 weeks, 18 to 24 hours a day, I was trying to debunk the flat earth, and I came up empty handed. And after that, I realized, okay, the earth is not a globe. What the heck is going on? And now, you know, 4 or 5 years, 6 years later, whatever it's been, I'm the host of the Flat Earth podcast. I do radio interviews all over the place. I produce short videos. My specialty is I make short 1 minute, 2 minute, you know, under 5 minute videos for the new person that isn't going to sit down and watch a 2 hour documentary on the topic, just to bring people in. So, you know, the last thing I'll say is I resisted. Well, after I figured out that the earth was flat, I didn't bring it up on the podcast because I didn't want it to destroy all of the hard work I've done on all of these other major deceptions. But then I realized more and more, this truth has to come out. And I brought it up on the show. Again, it, you know, the producers, the co-hosts, everybody was freaking out. But then it got to a point where people started to accept it. And that show, we ended that show after 3 years. And then I started the Flat Earth podcast.
Very good. Now, okay.
How's that?
So,
that was a little long.
No. It's okay. It's okay. All right. That's great. So, all right. So I know who Sophia is. I haven't had an opportunity to interview her yet, but I will. Okay. So everybody wants to know, and just like me, I want to know, what did you look at specifically that really just solidified it for you?
You know, what it was I said, okay, what's just one proof that the earth is a ball. And I say, when you're comparing flat earth and ball earth, things can fall into three baskets. One, works on a ball earth. Two, works on a flat earth. Or three, can work on both. Like east-west circumnavigation works on both. What I found out over time is absolutely nothing goes into the works only on a ball earth. And but I kept coming up with things. I'm like, wait a minute, photos. And then you look into the photos and you find out that NASA admits that all of the photos of Earth are photoshopped, that there are strips of data from who knows where. I say they're from high altitude airplanes, and they're wrapped on a ball. One of their artists, Robert Simmons, admitted that he takes strips of data, he wraps it on a ball in Photoshop, then he adds the clouds and he adds the colors and he adds a specular highlight, and they're admitted fake. So there's no pictures of Earth. So what else is there? The number one proof is we can see too far. On a sphere, any size, whether it's a beach ball or the Earth or whatever, there's spherical geometry that'll tell you what that curve rate is. So if you're standing on the top of the Earth, right, and you travel 1 mile, the drop of a 24,901-mile ball, which we're told that we live on, is 8 inches in the first mile. But then as you're going farther away from that starting point, that drop increases. So the actual formula for calculating distances on Earth, the curve, is 8 inches per mile squared. So 1 mile is 8 inches. 2 miles is 2 times 2 times 8 is 32 inches. 3 miles is 3 times 3, which is 9 times 8. And it goes up from there. So at 10 miles, there's a 66-foot drop that's supposed to be there. But we're looking at water level across 20, 30, 40 miles, and we're seeing beaches. We're seeing no curvature.
Right.
So that one right there.
Go ahead, go ahead.
That's the number one. Go ahead. That's the number one for me. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So, you know, water always finds level. And so what kind of explanation have you heard them give, David, as far as how to explain the world's oceans and rivers being held together in a spherical form?
Well, the go-to answer, the God, is gravity. Everything is gravity. We're going to hear when we talk about, you know, other things like the atmosphere and space, gravity is the answer. But that's the only answer that they have. They need gravity to make their ridiculous helio-nonsensical model believable in the minds of the indoctrinated. They indoctrinated. What's the first thing that you see in school? You're a four-year-old, a five-year-old. You go to school, and there's a globe in the front of the school, and they start teaching you about that right away. It's in Sesame Street. It's in every movie, in Disney. It's everywhere. Globes are everywhere. It's total mind control, and they indoctrinate you with this when you're at an age where you don't have the ability, the cognitive ability to question it. So your question was, how does water stand the outside of a ball? It's absolutely ridiculous. Let me explain what the world is. Now, there's a lot we don't know because we are not allowed to go to certain places on this world, and we can get into that. But the flat earth is not a disc in space with water going over the edge like the Flat Earth Society wants you to believe. The Flat Earth Society is a government-run disinformation site. Anybody that searches Flat Earth will end up at the Flat Earth Society with the way Google's algorithms have it. And the Flat Earth Society has a little bit of truth and a whole bunch of nonsense. You know, Flat Earth Society says gravity is because the Earth is rising up at 9.8 meters per second, creating this downward force. It's nonsense. The Earth doesn't move. It's complete ridiculousness. If I had gone to the Flat Earth Society when I first started looking, I would have stopped looking and I wouldn't have looked again. And it might have taken me years before I would take another look. So they're doing a good job over there. So that's all I want to say about the Flat Earth Society is no flat earther is a member, is a believer in the Flat Earth Society.
Right. I think a lot of people, they can't wrap their minds around it. Me too, you know, and I know it was probably hard for you as well. When we're younger, we're taught that those teachers care about us. All these professors and everything, they care about us. So why would to this lie?
So the teachers, and I'm going to get back to my just explaining about the water. But let me just say that the you're given – the Rockefellers control the textbooks, okay, if you have to put a name on it. And they put the information in there that they want the children to learn to be good worker slaves in the corporations. They don't teach us sacred geometry or vortex mathematics. They teach us algebra and basic geometry. That's not what this world is made of. And the teachers are the ones that can memorize and regurgitate the information the best, and then they get to teach it again. And they are required to teach what's in the textbooks. So I don't want to say that every teacher's in on it. No, the teachers are the most indoctrinated of all. You know, people say, David, where did you get your degree? You know what? I went to college and everything, but the more you are educated, the less you know, because education is not thinking for yourself. It is regurgitating fed information that doesn't have any proof behind it at all. I don't want to ramble on and on, but I want to just, before we get into it, the flat earth is, the way I describe it is, the earth is the basement of the universe. The earth is all that there is, okay? Imagine a big lake, let's say it's 50 miles across in Kansas, in the middle of Kansas, which is very flat, okay? And in that lake, you have a whole bunch of islands, you know, spread around, and in the center of the lake, you have a magnetic North Pole, an actual magnetic North Pole, all right? So you can go on, you're in the lake on your boat, and you break out a compass, and the compass is going to point towards the center of the lake. If you go clockwise, you're going to be going west. Clockwise, west is a circle on a ball earth or a flat earth. It's a circle. East is counterclockwise, and south is any direction away from the center. So south, if you're looking at the center, south is to the left. South is straight, you know, up. South is to the right, straight down, if you're looking at a map on a wall. It's every direction away from the center. And a compass, you know, get a magnet and a compass, and you'll see that. So people say, well, in the northern hemisphere, you would always have to correct towards the north when you're trying to go straight, and people don't do that on a ball earth. That's not true. Of course you have to do that on a ball earth. The only place that you wouldn't, in theory, is directly on the equator. Let's say you were 1 mile from the North Pole on a sphere, on a ball, okay? You break out your compass, it's going to point to the North Pole. you're going to start walking west, and you have to keep turning to make sure that compass keeps pointing towards the North Pole. Well, 3.14 miles later, you're back to where you started, and you've circumnavigated. Work your way farther and farther and farther out. That curve becomes less and less. You don't even notice it. On a ball, though, once you get into the south, you'd have to start correcting to the left, right, towards the South Pole. But that's not what ship's captains report. They report when they're out in the Indian Ocean trying to dead reckon at 90 or 270, which is east or west, that they constantly have to keep correcting to the north. And they write it off to wind, currents. But it's because they're on a flat earth and they need to keep correcting their course to go east or west. Nobody, billions of people have gone east and west, circumnavigation. Maybe you've done it. You know, if you've flown to the Middle East and around, you can go over the top, over the North Pole. You can go east, you can go west, you can get over to China. But nobody has ever gone south and come back up the other side.
Why is that? Why do you think
because
that
the earth is flat. You can't do it. South is away from the center, and you'll just keep going farther and farther and farther away from the center. East and west are circles around the center. So if you're 1 mile or 1,000 miles or 5,000 miles from the north, you're going to stay 5,000 miles from the north on your entire trip. You're going to make a big circle, and you're going to end up right back where you came from. South is going directly away from the center. And if you go south, you'll hit Antarctica, which is the shoreline that surrounds us. Getting back to my island, my lake, you're on the lake in Kansas. You can circle around all those islands. You can circumnavigate east and west, right, clockwise and counterclockwise. But if you go away from the center, what's going to happen eventually? You're going to hit the shoreline, right?
Okay.
So people say, where's the edge? Why don't you go jump off? Well, why don't you go jump off a lake? You can't do it. It's the edge. It's the shoreline that surrounds us. And that shoreline is Antarctica. Antarctica is not a continent at the bottom of a ball. Antarctica is the shoreline that surrounds the world lake, okay, the world ocean. Antarctica is the highest land on Earth. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So if we're living, you know, if you're scaling this down, we're living in a big puddle. Well, the edges of the puddle are the highest part, and they're containing the water. And that's what people call the ice wall, because it is very cliff-like from what we can see. But Antarctica, you can't go there. And people say, well, thousands of people go there every year. Yeah, so here's the deal. There's like 17 different companies that are all owned by the same company that have tours to Antarctica. It'll cost for like a couple of days, it'll cost you, you know, $15,000 to $25,000. So that eliminates a lot of people, even more. And they'll bring you to the edge, and they'll show you some penguins, and then they'll bring you on a little expedition. They'll go, oh, you're at the South Pole where compasses don't work. So you don't know where you are. It's just a pole in the ground. And that's it. Nobody is allowed to explore Antarctica independently. No corporation, no country. There's 57 countries or whatever, every NATO country signed on to the Antarctica Treaty. And in the 1950s, and it can't even be questioned until the year 2043. Okay,
that's wild.
That's a problem. So the last thing I'll say, and then I'll let you ask me some more questions, is people say, well, what's out there? Well, a lot of people, like Mark Sargent, think that there's a dome, that we live under some sort of dome. I believe that also. But again, we have no proof. There is a lot of evidence. Other people think that it's an endless plane, that it goes on and on. And perhaps there's other puddles out there with other circling suns and moons and stars. Other people think that there could be concentric rings of other worlds around us. But all of them are way more possible than living on a spinning rock water ball rocket flying through an infinite vacuum in an uncontained system. It's absolute nonsense.
Well, let me ask you this. I watch Neil deGrasse Tyson. He gets on my last...
Was an actor.
Yes, he is. He gets on my last nerve. I don't care to say it. Yeah. He says that... he talks about the eclipse. He says if you see the shape of the Earth's shadow on the moon during an eclipse is always round. So if it was flat, it would be a flat shadow.
Yeah. Well, one, that's mind control number one, because have you ever tested it yourself? You haven't.
No.
And I'm not picking on you. It just nobody does. Here's the truth, though. When you take a single source light, you know, like the sun, but not, you got a spotlight, and then you have two balls, okay? One like the moon and the earth, and then you raise the moon, the earth up in between the two, so it casts a shadow on the moon. Well, a sphere putting a shadow on another sphere doesn't come in as that perfect curve. It comes in as a long ellipse, and then it spreads out, and when it's centered, it'll become a full circle, and then as it leaves, it turns into a big ellipse again, right? The other thing is, and I'm not saying that the Earth, a flat Earth, is doing this, but if you take a ball, put a single source light on it, and then get a straight edge, like a book or whatever, and rise that up to block it, it makes a curved shadow that looks exactly like the eclipse. Now, I'm not saying that a straight edge is causing the eclipse, what we see. I don't even believe that what we're seeing is a shadow. I believe it's the dimming of the moon's light. But one of the proofs that it's not the Earth causing the dimming of the moon is what's called a Selenian eclipse. Have you heard of that? You there?
I'm sorry. No, I haven't.
Yeah, okay. So a Selenian eclipse is, imagine you're standing on wherever you are on the Earth, you're on the top from your point of view. And if you're looking to the west and the sun is there, and you're looking to the east, you know, or vice versa, and the moon is there above the horizon, it's impossible for an eclipse to be happening. Can you agree with that? Do you have that three-dimensional picture?
Yes, I do.
You got the sun and the moon, and the Earth is below that line. Well, there's been over 50 documented eclipses. I think the last one was in 2018, where the sun and the moon are above the horizon and the eclipse is fully on its way. And the other thing is, you got the sun and the moon, and then the Earth in between, but it's below them. Okay. When it starts coming up, that shadow should rise up from the bottom of the moon, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. But it came in, the eclipse came in from the top. Okay. Makes absolutely no sense in the helio-nonsensical model, okay? So how exactly does the eclipse happen? We don't know. There's lots of other, you know, Vedic stories and, you know, the dark bodies up there and all sorts of stuff. We don't know, but we know it's not the Earth.
You know, I have to ask, you know, I know you've thought about this in great detail, but who benefits from this lie, keeping this... from the people. So can you tell us that?
Yeah. So, you know, the people usually jump right to, you know, why would they do this? And I like to give a quick analogy before I give you my opinion, because I'm not them, but it's obvious to me why they do it. If you were, if you were, let's say you were at a campfire and just hanging out, you know, and there's little huts all around, and one of your friends just gets up and takes a burning stick out of the fire and sets all the huts on fire, and 25 different people film them doing it, and then, you know, he burns them all down. If you can't figure out a motive, does that mean he didn't do it?
No.
So there's tons of evidence. There's tons, countless evidence that the Earth is flat and stationary, and there's zero evidence of the ball. So the reason is, in my opinion, is total control of your mind. If you think that you're an insignificant, and I used to think this, by the way, before I discovered the flat Earth, that you're an insignificant speck that was created when nothing exploded, became everything, you know, and then an amoeba turned into a fish. The fish mutated and grew legs, climbed out of the water, found another fish that mutated and grew legs, you know, mated, had a monkey, and then the monkey turned into a human. You'll believe anything if you believe that. Also, if you think that you live on a spinning ball speck in the middle of nowhere with trillions of other specks that could be just like it, where we could be, you know, hit with an asteroid, you know, the sun could blink out or whatever. You live in a state of fear and insignificance, and you never realize who you are, where you are, or what you are, and you lose your power. You're living in fear. Then on top of that, the controllers of this world feed us fear. You know, nuclear bombs, by the way, which are not real. Terrorists, shootings. And when you live in fear and think that you're insignificant, you give away your power and you become a slave of the state.
You know what, Neil Tyson said the same thing. He said, we're insignificant. We're nothing special. Again, trying to explain things. I've heard him say this. So, yeah, I totally see it.
That's their narrative. They want us to believe that. They're pushing that we're nothing, you know, that aliens are coming, you know, all of this nonsense, when in fact this world is a peaceful world. Here's what they do. The only power they have on us is deception, but there's a rule. They have to tell us what they're doing. We can get into that in a minute. But they divide and conquer. We have fake countries. We have all this country division. We have division in sports teams. They're dividing us in race. In reality, people are not violent people. They're creating this. You know, countries, the rulers of countries don't kill people. They convince order followers to go kill other order followers. So they're convincing us to do all of this when in fact it's all a sham. None of it's real. None of it.
Wow. Now you said so many things that I'm going to have to come back to it, but I do want to jump on the fact that, you talked about, you know, aliens and things like that. I did hear a guy say, and he researches flat earth too, and he gives some great lectures on the New Horizons channel on YouTube, and I advise everybody to look at that. But he says we can't even get outside our atmosphere at all. We just can't do it. It's not possible. What do you think about that?
Yeah, nobody's ever been to space. The highest anyone has ever been, or anything has ever been, are these rockets. They shoot up like 70 miles or barely. You know, we sent up balloons 127,000 feet, and the Earth is flat. It's completely and totally flat and not moving. You know, people say, well, what about the Red Bull jump? You know, he went up 127,000 feet. And if you look, when he opened his cockpit door, the inside camera showed a flat horizon. But when they showed the outside camera, it had a fisheye lens. And you look down at the Earth and you see like probably a fifth of the curve, right? But it's all land. It's all Arizona. Okay. And what that is a fisheye lens. It took him like 3 hours to get up, and then he jumped and he landed like 40 miles from where he started. So we're led to believe that on his way up, his balloon kept speeding up with the faster rotation necessary to keep up with the land. And as a matter of fact, he landed like 40 or 50 miles from where he jumped, but in the wrong direction. If the Earth was spinning, he went like up the other way.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So none of that makes any sense. These balloons, you know, it's nonsense.
What about SpaceX? That whole thing just looks staged to me. I mean, it didn't look real, but
if you really look at it, it's fake. None of it is real. You know, they do launch things sometimes. They have different ways to fool you, but if you watch any SpaceX, NASA launch, whatever, they have a close up. And then 1 second after launch, they switch to another view. And then another second later, they switch to another view. And then literally within 30 to 60 seconds, they're showing you a cartoon, an actual cartoon. and these things just, they go up, they arch out, they go over to restricted water, and then they're destroyed. They crash into the ocean, or they hit them with a particle beam or whatever they're doing to get rid of them. And the big ships that they actually do launch, you're not near it, so you don't know how big it is. The other thing is they're just rocket assisted blimps. Nobody's on them. And, you know, people say, well, what about satellites? Well, do you know that NASA is the largest purchaser of helium in the world? They send up thousands of balloons carrying satellites. Just look it up. That Google will still serve you.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know it.
Yeah, they're satellites hanging from balloons, and they can maneuver these things by remotely making them go up and down and catching different wind currents that are up there, and they can keep them up there for over a year. And they're, and then some of them have crashed down in some remote places, and they're swiped up quickly, but people have filmed them before they've been swiped up. So there's so much, you know, the whole SpaceX thing, it's complete and total fraud. Have you watched those rockets landing on the ship, on the water, or on the on the ground?
Yes.
So those things, you don't realize those things weigh multiple tons. You know, they're like 10, 20 tons, whatever, when they're on their way down. So you're dropping this metal tube that's falling down free fall, and then just before it gets down, it has a couple little puffs of smoke out of the top, and a little fire shoots out of the bottom, and it stops it.
Right. I've seen it. It lands on some kind of little platform out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, well, the one that you saw that landed on the platform, one of them they did, it was blowing like 20 to 30 knots. There was 5 foot, 10 foot waves out there. The thing is rocking up and down. You could barely stand on that thing, let alone land, you know, a 50 foot tall tube or however tall it was. It's utter nonsense. And every time they land, the camera goes black just before it lands, and then they get the feedback, and they go, it's because of the vibration of the tube coming down. This is there's no way that you can look at this with a critical mind and believe it's real. It's obviously fake. And if you look at their latest launch and most of their launches, you have to think about the amount of thrust to lift these heavy rockets up. The amount of thrust, it's insane. And you look at the smoke that comes out below the rocket, it just stays there. It just billows there. The rocket's thrust should just blow that all away. It should just be pulverized and blown out to the sides, but it just stays there. It's smoke machines coming out of the ground. This rocket, whether it's CGI from the start or not, whether it's a balloon, whether it's being lifted by a helicopter, there's all sorts of fakery, but none of it is real. None of it.
Yeah. I have to go back and talk about, you mentioned like places in the world where we are not allowed to go. Yeah. And, you know, one of those places is Antarctica, but can you elaborate on some other areas that they try to keep people away from?
The North Pole. We were all shown in school, tell me if you remember seeing this, the National Geographic exploration to the North Pole. The guys are taking their sleds. They got their dogs. It's getting colder and harsher and windy. It's 40 below. Their fingers are freezing. You know, like the dogs are freezing. They're running out of food. And then they finally get there in the dark. It's like 40 below zero. And they're like, they have their little GPS. They're like, all right, 50 feet. All right, we're here. Yay. And then they're like, okay, now we have to backtrack and get out. Do you remember seeing that in school?
No, I don't. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
This is something that they show school kids, or they used to at least. And what it does is make you say, well, I never want to go to North Pole. Okay. There's no need to go there. There's nothing there. It's nonsense. There is probably something there. There's stories of ships that have gone there and talk about seeing tropical lands. And, you know, one of the models that people that, you know, lots of ancient civilizations talk about is a magnetic mountain at the North Pole called Mount Meru. And that would explain how compasses work. So that's a place that we're not allowed to go. And Antarctica, we're only allowed at a very high cost to go to the very edge. The whole emperor penguins thing, where they have to travel inland, that the whole story, that's fake. The emperor penguins live right on the coast. They don't do this long trek that we were told. And, you know, the fact that we're told that we can't go there because we could interfere with the penguins, you know, the preservation of the penguins. Well, the Antarctica Treaty was written before environmentalism was even a thing. Russia, United States, you know, all these countries, yep, we're not going to Antarctica. No one can go. You can't even go. If you wanted to go down there, you're not allowed to bring extra fuel below the, I think it's the 60th parallel. they make it impossible. There's a video called "Sorry, Antarctica is Closed" by a YouTuber called Taboo Conspiracy 2. And if you watch that, he breaks down all of the obstacles to if you actually wanted to go to Antarctica and look around, and it's virtually impossible. It's impossible to go.
Hmm. Now, what do you think NASA was created to keep this flat Earth reality a secret?
Yeah, well, NASA was created to make humans believe that we can walk on another ball in the sky, that there's rocks in the sky. That's the sole purpose of NASA, is to make you believe that we live on a ball.
What do you think the moon is? I have to ask you that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the only thing that we can say about the lights in the sky, when I say the lights in the sky, stars, moon, the sun, the ISS, all these things that we see up there, other than, you know, the ones that we know that they are, is that they're lights. We don't know anything. The thing is, today's optics with super zoom cameras have outgrown their lies. And, you know, you look at, well, people say, why are all the other planets round? Well, you're seeing cartoons. You're seeing Disney cartoons of what Mars is and Jupiter, and it's nonsense. If you actually take a Nikon P900 or the P1000 camera and you zoom in on a star or those planets, you'll see that they're pulsing blobs of energy with unique geometric patterns in them. They're absolutely amazing. On my YouTube channel,
I've got one that I'm going to send you after this interview. Yeah. I have one that I recorded, and I'll send it to you.
Yeah. So on my YouTube channel, which is DITRH, which stands for Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. It's just the initials DITRH. YouTube is hiding my channel from, you know, it won't ever just show up. You have to really search for it. There's a playlist called Stars, and just watch the videos that we've gotten. You'll look at them and they're angelic in nature. They're not these physical things. If you think about this, you can ask any scientist, how do you know that the sun is 93 million miles away? Because that's the official story. And nobody knows how anyone figured it out. We don't know how nobody knows, right? And the one way that they'll say is, well, we saw Venus transit the sun, and we watch it from different places on the presumed, you know, curved Earth. And by doing the measurements with the presupposed size that we think Venus is, we figured out how far the sun was. It's all presuppositions that have absolutely no proof behind them. It's nonsense.
Okay. So since you brought up YouTube and everything, I want to talk about your app that we talked about before we actually got started and why YouTube's hiding all these flat Earth videos.
Yeah, so that, you know, it's kind of backfiring on YouTube. You know, YouTube doesn't hide Bigfoot. You know, they don't hide aliens stuff. They don't hide lots of stuff, but they're hiding flat Earth. They're purposely hiding flat Earth. If you go on, we used to say research flat Earth, and you search flat Earth, and up come all of this great research. Now it's just propaganda, hit pieces, you know, shill channels. It's pathetic on what they're doing. So I created an app for the iPhone and Android platform. It's called the Flat Earth Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app. Okay. And it shows you how the flat Earth looks, how it works. Now, some people say, well, that map isn't exactly right. Well, the thing is, when you look at it, it's a 24-hour clock, and the sun is tied to the hour hand. Wherever the sun is, that's where it's noon. So if you see the sun over Australia, Sydney, Australia, you call someone up in Sydney, Australia, it's noon. It's noon wherever the sun is. So there is truth to the map that I am using, which is the azimuthal equidistant map. It shows you how seasons work. It shows you how the zodiac works. It does a whole bunch of things, but one of the things is, and on the face of the app, is every day I serve up a new flat Earth video. I do short ones during the week, longer ones on the weekend most of the time. And I challenge anybody, if you think flat Earth is crazy, get the app and just watch the daily video for a couple of weeks. Each day you'll get a new video, a little push notification will come through and say, hey, this video is about so-and-so. And there's no way that you can survive 2 weeks and still believe in the helio-nonsensical model. The other thing I have on the app is an FAQ button. You hit it, it opens up the top 21 questions. And so you're like, okay, well, why are all the space agencies in it? Or, where's the edge? Or whatever your question is. You click that question, and it brings you to a playlist. It is on YouTube, but it is a selected playlist that I keep adding. Anytime a new video comes out, I add it to it. And you can watch all those videos on the topic and have your questions answered rather than trying to search for it and never getting the results with YouTube.
I want to know, David, have you personally interviewed any pilots? I try to look for, I did a search on YouTube trying to look for pilot testimony around Flat Earth, but I wasn't able to find it. But if they're hiding it,
Yeah, they're hiding it. Okay. So Mark Sargent has interviewed a whole bunch of pilots. Globebuster is another great channel. They do a live show every Sunday afternoon. They interviewed a pilot that came out, and that pilot immediately lost her job. It was a woman pilot. And she was grounded, and I'm not sure what happened to her, but there's a lot of pilots that know the Earth is flat, but they can't say anything because they'll lose their jobs. That's it. Airplanes fly over the Earth plane. They fly from position to position, and the Earth is flat. Even in the FAA manual, it says to treat the Earth as a flat, non-moving plane. Okay. That's what it says in their manual, okay? NASA manual, it says it. But there's tons of pilots that have come out anonymously. Some of them have come out. They don't care. So you look on Mark Sargent's channel and go to, I believe he has a playlist called, maybe it's called Pilots or Specialists or something like that. But Mark Sargent YouTube channel, he's got a lot of those interviews. So think about this. You're on a spinning ball. Okay. Do you know how fast the spinning ball spins in the helio-nonsensical model? It's spinning 1,000 miles per hour, right? So it's 24,000 miles around. It takes 24 hours to go one revolution, right? So that's about 1,000 miles per hour. All right. So that's faster than the speed of sound, just to put that into context. But if you're up in Alaska and you're much closer to the North Pole, you're 24 hours circumference circle is much smaller than the equator, right?
Right.
So you're still going around once every 24 hours, but in Alaska, you're only going about 400 miles per hour, okay? Because it has a much smaller circle to make. So you're on an airplane sitting on the runway, and you're moving 400 miles per hour before you even take off. Now you take off and you increase your speed to 500 miles per hour, airspeed. And you fly down to the equator, okay? Now the ground below you is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour, 600 miles per hour faster than the runway that you took off from. But the other problem that you have is this runway goes north-south. So it's moving sideways at 1,000 miles per hour. How do you land on it? Runways don't move. So anything that you look at, when I ask somebody that believes in the globe, they haven't looked. Flat earthers know more about the globe and the flat earth than globers know about the globe. They because we've studied it. The number one proof that people have that the earth is a globe is, this is what they say, there's thousands of proofs, and we've known it for 5,000 years. That's their proof. Like, can you name one? And they can't, and they get angry, right? Because nobody likes having the rug pulled out from underneath them. Your entire life is a lie. And until you wake up to realize that you are special, that you are in a special place, that you have far more power than the elite want you to know, you are going to be a lost slave in the system.
You know what? Can I ask you a couple more questions before we go? Because these skip my mind. I heard a guy mention the double sunset. I mean, have you heard that argument?
Yeah. So you watch the sunset, and then you quickly go up to the top of a tall building, and you can see the sunset
again. Right.
Yeah. So that's some, one of the things I specialize in. Difficult to describe on a radio show here, but I'll do it. But just if you go to my YouTube channel, DITRH, and look at my sunsets video, you'll see. So on the flat Earth, the sun is very, very, very close to the Earth. It's not a physical object. It's, for lack of a better word, it's a projection into our atmosphere, okay? But when the sun moves across the plane, it's just due to perspective. It's like if you're on a long street with streetlights, you have to look up at the one above you, but the other ones are at eye level that are right down the street to the left and the right. That's the same path that the sun takes. It goes up and over. And when you're looking across the Earth plane, that's where the atmosphere is the thickest, and it all goes into a convergence point. That convergence point looks like the horizon. Like when I'm just looking 30 miles across the water, the clouds are touching the water at that point. And that's not because of curvature. That's just because of how our eyes work in convergence. Okay. So the sun is above the clouds, right? And so as it's moving away, it's just going to move in perspective past that line of convergence, and it's going to set. If I raise my height quickly, I might be able to see the sun again. It all depends. There's all different ways that it sets. Because when on a flat Earth, on a flat plane, the higher you are, the farther you can see. Okay. So it's the same thing. Does that work on a ball Earth too? Well, I don't know. We don't live on a ball, but in theory it does. So that one doesn't prove either. You know, people say, what about, I've seen boats go over the horizon. So what happens is it's all due to perspective. And you know what, when you're looking across a long flat plane, you start seeing mirage. You know how it mirrors the sky?
Yeah.
You've seen that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking out at a boat, it looks like it disappears from the bottom up. And sometimes you watch it and it's completely gone, and you zoom in on a camera and there's the boat again. But other times you can't see the bottom, and that's because it's going right into that mirage, and the mirage is eating the boat from the bottom up. The more important part of that story is on a 24,901-mile round ball, if you're standing at the water's edge and you're 6 feet tall, that horizon, the water should drop off in 3 miles, okay? At 3 miles, that should be it, and there should be no more water visible beyond that point. But we can see water at 30 miles away. We can see water beyond that. So if you see a boat disappearing, but you can still see water beyond that boat, how did that water get beyond that boat? It's because it's due to perspective. It's due to the angular resolution limits of your eyes. It's due to a whole bunch of things. Here's the problem. The world is fluoridated, vaccinated, GMO'd, and filled with utter nonsense. They're not educated, and they don't know how to think. They only know how to memorize and regurgitate. And to understand where we really live, you really have to use your mind and think these things out. Can I give you one more example about how things disappear from the bottom up?
Sure.
Even without water or atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know what the angular resolution limit of the eye means?
No, I don't.
So if I'm holding an 8-foot 2x4 right in front of your face, parallel to the ground, and you're literally touching your nose, that wood is going to cover about 180 degrees of your vision, right? It's right there.
Right.
It's shooting out to the side. Now, if I walked 50 feet away, it's now only going to be covering maybe 10 degrees of your vision. And as I get farther and farther away, that angular size of the pie that goes, the full circle that surrounds my head, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And when it gets to 0.02 degrees in angular size, even though it's still there, you can't see it. It's invisible because your eye can't resolve it. You understand that?
Yeah.
So if I got a super zoom camera, what that camera is going to do, it's going to zoom in and make that angular size bigger, and there I can see it again, right?
Right, right.
Okay. So we've done experiments in like a Home Depot that has a super smooth cement floor, and we get a camera and we put it down on the floor, and we get a brick and we put it in front of the camera and it fills up the whole camera. And then you slide that brick farther and farther and farther and farther away until its angular size becomes so small that the camera can't see it. All right. So this is something you could do. So let me ask a question. So we're at the point where the camera can no longer see it because its angular size is too small. Now, if I stacked three more bricks on top of it, do you think you could see those three bricks?
I would think so.
Absolutely. You can. You're thinking. That's good. And you can test this with experiment. But the bottom brick is still gone. It's disappearing from the bottom up, and it's not even accounting for waves, atmosphere, anything like that. Things disappear from the bottom up. Now, if you raise that camera up a foot, guess what? You're going to see all four bricks again because you've increased your viewing angle. These are things that they don't teach us in school.
I actually saw an experiment, and Mark was there. Mark was in this. It was a group, I guess, they go around trying to debunk it. But that was one of the things that they were trying to say, is that they sent that they were at, I think they were in California at the biggest
Salton
lake.
Sea.
There you go. And he tried to make the argument that they could see the stripes of the flag disappear, and it was disappearing from the bottom up. So he said, so that proves that, you know, the Earth is not flat.
They said that this was National Geographic, which
that's
are paid.
Exactly right, right.
Right, and they said, and look, the stripes are disappearing from the bottom up, and that's due to Earth's curvature, right? They
right.
said that.
That's exactly
okay.
right.
So did you, but if you take a look at that, and we've broken it down 100 times, and you can just look at their video, guess what? Beyond the boat, we can see more water. We can see the surface of the water
right.
way beyond that boat. How did that water become higher than that? All the reason that you couldn't see them was because of the waves in the foreground are that they were blocking the view. They were just blocking the view of that flag, the way they had those stripes in the water. It was, they may even have lowered the flag, but the fact that you can see the water surface beyond the boat, that proves, because if it was hiding behind a curvature, you shouldn't be able to see any water.
That's Agreed? Right. Past
yeah,
the boat.
You can see the water. The you can see right. the water past the boat.
Right. Mark said something about Fanta. I don't know if I'm saying this right. I'm going to say it anyway. Fata Morgana. There you go. And refraction and atmospheric lensing is what I wrote down. I have no idea.
Say that again.
Atmospheric lensing.
Yeah. So the air has a lot of moisture in it. Different days, things will look different sizes. I can see the New York City skyline from where I live. And sometimes the buildings are twice the size that they are. Sometimes I can't see them. Sometimes half the bottoms are missing. Sometimes I can see the whole thing. A ball believer will say, well, you can't see half of it because it's over the curvature, but they're not doing the math. The math isn't right. You know, I can see underneath the White Stone Bridge, and I can see the footings below the bridge on some days. But in fact, I shouldn't be able to see the tops of those towers from where I am, but I can see the whole thing. So there's atmospheric magnification, which makes things bigger, but because they're getting farther away, they're shrinking due to perspective. So they're growing and shrinking at the same time in different amounts on different days. It's not, you know, but anytime a globe person says, oh, you can't see a little bit of the bottom or a lot of the bottom, that's because of curvature, it doesn't add up. You know, just like the National Geographic, that flag, they couldn't see the lines. They said it was because of curvature, but there was water behind them that was higher than the flag.
Right.
So
right.
The pure deception, lies, or willful ignorance.
Well, you could tell that she was clearly for the ball Earth, and she kept saying that the people that believe in flat Earth are dangerous and things like. I mean, she even said that, you know, this is dangerous to society and things like, dangerous to science, things
yes.
like that.
Yeah, so that they're trying everything. They want people to think that flat earthers are terrorists, that it's going to dumb down the world. The truth is, with all of the deceptions that they have, flat earth is the most important one. Now, I'm going to tell you my growing up, I was I guess I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God. I believed in evolution. I believed that the earth was created from the Big Bang, just like we were taught on all of this stuff. And once I realized that the earth is flat, it is intelligently designed. I was like, wait a minute, it's intelligently designed. That changes everything. So you ever hear this, the quote, I believe Paul Harvey used to say it. I'm not sure he originated it. It's the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing you that he didn't exist.
Yes, I've heard that.
So the real saying is the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing you that God doesn't exist. Okay. There's a creator. I'm not saying who he is, what he is. There's a creator that created this place. There, if people woke up tomorrow and realized that the earth is intelligently designed, there is a creator, that we have way more power than they want us to know, they would lose control over us. We would stop following their silly laws and their ridiculousness. We would stop listening to their lies, you know. And that's the reason. So you asked me early on, the reason is they're hiding the creator. Right. They don't want us to know that. They want us to live in fear and to give away our power. The lucky for us, there's a thing called natural law or God's law, whatever you want to call it. And that is, we all have free will and they're not allowed to break it. So they have to tell us what they're doing. And if we're too stupid to say, no, I do not consent, then we, you know, then we're giving away our power. So they've told us all the false flags that happened. They've told us, they've showed us the UN flag is the flat earth map. Obama mentioned flat earth a half a dozen times during his presidency. They're showing us willful mistakes on these space station flights. They're showing us that they're hanging from wires. They're showing us all of this stuff. Some of the mistakes I think are mistakes. Some of them are purposely shown to us to give us the ability to say no, but the world is too stupid. They're not saying no. They're not saying, I do not consent. And therefore, they're saying yes.
So, David, the purpose of telling us what they're going to do, they are avoiding their karma.
They think that they're karma-free by, you know, by telling us that, you know, hey, we were too stupid. Like, NASA won an Emmy. For one of their flights recently. Literally, this happened a couple weeks ago. NASA won an Emmy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
An Emmy. That's a daytime acting TV award, okay? So one day we're going to be in front of the creator, and they're going to be like, hey, you know, they tricked us. They got, you know, and NASA's going to be like, we gave ourselves a friggin' Emmy. They didn't figure it out. There's, you know, it's so ridiculous that it's hard to believe that people can't see it. So let me just give you a place to go. The Flat Earth Podcast Facebook page is, for those people that use Facebook, go to the videos there. As of the date of this recording, which is February 5th, 6th, whatever it is, in 2019, the top two videos on there, if you watch them, one about the space and the moon and the other one about the flat earth, called the Flat Earth Journey, those two videos alone will 100% convince anybody that space is fake, space travel's fake, we never went to the moon, and the earth is flat and stationary. That's it.
Yeah.
Those,
you know what? You know what?
I
commend you on that, because you're wanting to spur people to use their own brain. And I always do that. I don't like to force my opinion on people. As a matter of fact, I really don't like to really state how I think about things. But I recommend everybody go to your website, look at your videos. I would love to have you come back on, because there's so much more to what you're talking about as far as control and free will and some of these other areas. But I do agree that flat earth is one of the most important ones that we all need to look at. Any last words or anything you would like to suggest people keep an eye on as far as, you know, all this stuff is concerned?
So there in November, this is 2019, on November 14th and 15th in Dallas, Texas, is the USA Flat Earth International Conference. Anybody that can make it there, especially if you think we live on a ball but don't know why you think that, it's an amazing, amazing event. It's in Dallas, Texas, November 14th and 15th, which is a Thursday and a Friday. It's FE, stands for Flat Earth, FE2019.com. Check that out. Also, if you're on the fence, or if you're a flat earther and you're trying to wake up other people, the Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app, it's $2.99. I put a lot of money into it. It's not a money-making thing. It's about spreading the earth. I've been talking, you watch people, you're explaining flat earth to someone and they're asking questions and like, well, how does seasons work? How does day and night work? How does, you know, where does the sun go? Then you break out the app, boom, they go, oh, that's how it works. Then you turn on the zodiac and they're like, you know, the sun is in a zodiac. Do you know what that means? You know, sun is in your sign.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah. So I didn't know it until I built it into the app. The earth is stationary. Above us, you have the stars that spin. Okay. The fixed stars spin, and they go around. They spin above the earth once every 24 hours, or it's like 4 seconds less than that, or whatever it is. The sun is above the earth and it spins at another rate. It spins, slightly faster or slower. the sun spins slightly faster than the stars. I think I'm a little dyslexic. And it takes 365 days to lap the stars. So if you think about, you got our 12 signs up there, it takes about, you know, 28 days for the sun to move through one of the signs into the next sign because they're all spinning together. You follow?
Yeah.
If you have the app, look at it. Download the app, turn on the zodiac, turn on the time lapse, and you'll go, oh, now I get it. And then the moon is also doing it. But the sun laps the moon every how long? How long does it take the sun to lap the moon? 28 days.
Okay.
Every 28 days, because every 28 days we have a new full moon. So the sun's position on the moon creates the phases. It's not because of the light reflecting off the dusty, dirty rock ball moon. It's because it's a whole nother reason. But the sun laps the moon every 28 days. The zodiac laps the sun every 365 days. And if you look at it, it all clicks. But the main reason to get it, besides that, is the daily videos and then the archive videos. It bypasses YouTube's algorithms. Like if someone says, hey, how does seasons work? And I sent them a link to a short video that shows them how seasons work. They'll do that. And then the next video will be an flat earth video, a mainstream video that YouTube will serve up. But on the app, when we do it, whenever we put a daily video, which is every day, it's in a playlist. So if you want to let the next video play or the next 10 videos play, they're all our video. They're all the videos that we selected, and we're bypassing YouTube's algorithms.
Okay. Now, do they have the app for Android and iOS?
Yeah, Android and iOS. It's in Google Play. Just search Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app. If you just put in Flat Earth Clock, it'll probably show up. But it's the one that's $2.99. Look at the reviews. It's almost 5 stars, except you have some, you know, government trolls out there, trying to downrate it. But you'll see there's a few, you know, really just chintzy ones that somebody threw up there that don't do what this does. it's amazing.
Sounds awesome. I will have the link for that on the website for you as well, David.
Awesome.
Many blessings to you, and I really appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks so much, and we'll talk again.
All right, I know your mind's got to be spinning. There is no way that it can't be. And I want to thank my special guest again, David Weiss. To start out, just go to his YouTube page, which is DITRH, Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. For starters, you know, just start there, watch some videos, and see if you're, you know, if they pique your interest, and then you can go from there. But either way, this was an entertaining interview, to say the least, and I really appreciate his time. I would love to bring him back on to talk about false flags and some other things, because he's phenomenal in that area as well. Hope you guys have been receiving all your rewards. We sent those off and we're still sending some more. So please share the show with other people that may like this stuff. They can listen to it at work or while they're driving. Anything to help us to grow our community will be much appreciated. I want to thank my producer tonight, Kim, the Mysterious Radio team, and you, of course, for being a loyal patron. I am your host, K-Town. I want you to have a good night, and I will see you next time on Mysterious Radio.
Like the show? Get more Mysterious Radio on our website. And don't forget to visit our Twitter and Facebook page.